started a playlist on Spotify called Finding Hope as well. So that's free for those of you who know how to access Spotify. We actually have all of our music on Spotify with all kinds of playlists. But we did put together one especially for this season with Finding Hope, because that's been a real emphasis in our hearts and ministry in the last several years, really, because we desperately needed hope when we lost Bo, and we have found the value of just having hope in God when everything seems to be falling apart. You know, we want to maintain a degree of hope in God. You know, I love this scripture in Psalm 27:13. He says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And the psalmist is just, you know, that word despaired in the New King James, he says, "I would have lost heart." And others say, "I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God." And when we go through tragedy like you guys have been, like we have been, you know, it's the thing that attacks so often is hopelessness. You know, you just feel, I don't know if I have, you feel lack of faith, you feel hopeless, you don't know if you'll ever make it through. We have a dear friend who lost her husband. Actually, her husband and I were best of friends for 50 years, and he died, and but had a mess up in a surgery, and we fought with him for over a year, but then he died, and he was larger than life kind of guy. And so we've stuck real close with our friend, you know, the spouse. And but one of the things she said, we had her visit our house a couple of times, and one of the things she said is, "I was just so hopeless. I didn't know if I could make it. I didn't know how to make it. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how I was going to make it financially." You know, she didn't have health and life insurance. They didn't have hardly anything, and he had a business, and she couldn't run it. So. You know, how many know that God is a God of hope, though, right? He is a God of hope. It says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And we have to lift our hearts and our minds up to see God in the midst of trial. As we sang that song, "When I don't know what to do, I'm going to keep my eyes on you." And, you know, there's so often that we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know what the next step is. But at least we can look up, amen? We can look up and say, "God, I need your help. God, I'm expecting from you." You know, I like those two scriptures in Isaiah. It says, "I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them." And you say, "Charlie, I don't know what to do." Well, listen, he said he would lead the blind, amen? So if you don't even know what to do, just lay into him, trust him, keep your hope alive. Our hope was challenged beyond recognition when we lost Bo. Lamentations 3:18 really spoke to me and helped me. It was out of the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read this to you. Lamentations 3:18 through 24. Jeremiah is crying out, and he goes, "I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost." I don't know if you've ever been in that place in your life, but you were really hoping and trusting for something, and it just didn't work out the way you expected. And so the Jeremiah says, "Everything I had hoped for from the Lord was lost." He said, "The thought of my suffering and the homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet," and this is the beautiful part, he turns it around. We all have these hopeless moments in our life. And he says, "Yet, I still dare to hope." I love that in the New Living that he says, "I dare to hope." Because it's almost like you're like, do I hope or do I not hope? I'm almost afraid to hope. I'm almost afraid to have faith. You know, because I was so disappointed, so broken, so hurt. But he said, "I still dare to hope when I remember this." And he just started remembering about the goodness of God. He said, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease." Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Can somebody say amen? So I just love the way that turns around, because he was being honest and transparent about his hopelessness, about how hard this situation was, but he dared to hope again. And I wanted to encourage you, if you're in that situation, I hope you're not, but if you're in a situation where you've been hopeless, maybe you've had a dream that's not coming true, maybe you've been believing God for something that's not happening, I want to encourage you today to still dare to hope. When you remember that God is a God of love, that he's a faithful God, that his mercies will never cease, his greatest is faithful. That's where that great song comes from. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. His mercies begin afresh every morning. And you know, when we went through this tragedy with Luther and our son, we lost all hope. We were so upset. We were so angry. We were so confused, so broken. We couldn't, it's beyond words what we were experiencing. I didn't really know if I would make it. Neither of us thought we'd make it through this. We thought we're going on a trash heap. But, you know, I remembered a few scriptures, one being that, you know, the disciples said, where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And I knew that God had saved me, so I knew my salvation was real. But everything else I'd ever taught or seen in my life, I just didn't even know if it was real. I remember this one scripture in Luke 22. He says, the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you and that wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And that is such a powerful word, you know, because he prayed for Peter and he said, you know, you're going to go through some tough times. And, you know, he didn't say that you're going to deny me, but Jesus saw that he was going to deny him and three times before the cock crowed. And so, you know, Simon was wanting to hang himself. He wanted to just die. He was so hurt. But he said, Satan desired to destroy you, my man. Satan wants, how many of you know, Satan doesn't like you? That's right. We must have a healthy understanding of that. We don't want to be demon conscious all the time, but we need to have a healthy understanding that Satan roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture tells us that we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. You know, there's a time to say, God, I need your help. Will you help me in this situation? There's another time when the Lord will turn to you and he'll say, stand up, my son, and speak to the mountain. Amen? Yes. And so we just need, you know, the enemy was trying to sift him as wheat. And when the enemy comes in your life, the Bible says we need to resist him steadfast in the faith. I've had to resist the enemy so many times in my life. It's beyond words how many times that he's tried to destroy me. He's tried to tell me I'm no good, tell me I'm never going to make it. I mean, not only through the loss of my son, I mean, just through all kinds of life situations. He told me our marriage would never make it. Have you ever heard that demon? You don't want to raise your hand because your wife or husband's sitting next to you. You ain't going to make it. You married the wrong person. Well, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Yes, I will make it. Come on, somebody shout amen. Here we are going on 47 years with these guys. Oh, we just did 47 years, didn't we? In March, yep. March 10th and March 11th. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Day apart, same age, glory. Brother from another mother. So we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to put on the full armor of God that we can stand against all the schemes, all the lies, all the plans of the enemy, because he is totally trying to destroy you and me. And so, you know, Paul the Apostle, he had a healthy understanding of God's love, and he had a healthy understanding of life in general and his calling on his life to preach the gospel. I mean, when he got knocked off of that horse, you know, he said, I'm going to show you the things that you must suffer. I mean, the Lord said, you know, I've got a plan for you. I've got some awesome things for you, but it's not going to be easy. He told him from the start it wouldn't be easy. You know, we think being a Christian is going to be all easy all the time. Well, not necessarily. I mean, yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and yes, his presence will never leave us no matter what. Glory to God. But that doesn't mean that everything in life is going to just pan out to be so perfect all the time. So Paul had this great heart and this great attitude where he said, I don't think I've made it. I press on and take hold of that which Jesus has taken hold of me. And he says, you know, I'm forgetting the things that are behind me. I'm pressing on to the things that are before me. And then in Romans 8:35, he says, can anything ever separate me from Christ's love? See, that's healthy. Come on, can anything ever separate me from Christ's love? Can everybody in this place just think about that? You have to know that you know. John was hitting on that a little bit earlier. You have to know that you know. It's not so much about I love God. It's that you have to really know how much he loves you. Paul knew that. He says, I know that nothing can separate me from God's love. And I'll tell you what, the other day I was just sitting in prayer and worship, and sometimes I'm like you, John. I'm like, oh, God, and he says, just be quiet, will you, and just let me love on you, you know, just let me love on you. And I'm thinking, and I ran across this scripture in Isaiah. I don't think I can find it right now, but it says, because you are precious in my sight, I love you, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And I read it was in Isaiah, and I thought, Lord, am I precious in your sight? I don't really feel that. I feel like I'm still trying to earn. I'm still trying to be good boy, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But no, the Lord says, you are precious in his sight. Can you get a hold of that? Paul knew that. He said, nothing can separate us from Christ's love. Hallelujah. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you've been through, nothing can separate you from God's love. And then in the New Living, I love it. He goes on, he says, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Isn't that a good translation? He said, does it mean he no longer loves us? Because that's the thing that happens so often when we get hit with difficulty, when things don't go the way we expect them to go, we wonder, oh, we must be the bad guy, or maybe we didn't do something wrong, or maybe God doesn't love us. But yes, he loves us, no matter what. Despite all these things, we're overwhelmingly victorious through Christ who loved us. Amen. No matter what. I am convinced in 38 that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. I'm convinced. How many of you today, we're going to get convinced here today before we leave, right? Convinced that nothing will separate us from God's love. And he goes on to say, neither death nor life, angels, demons, fears of today, nor worries of tomorrow. Nothing can separate us from his love. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to know that I know that nothing will separate me from his love. He goes on to say, no power in the sky above the earth, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. An interesting scripture in Luke 7:23 in the Passion Translation says, the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith. And it says, no matter what happens, blessed is the one who does not take offense at me. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have problems? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that God's love is going to continue to be with you and pull you through that difficult time. So how many of you know that Paul went through a lot of hard times, right? I've looked those up many times, and I, you know, if I'm walking through it, throughout the day, and all of a sudden I have a difficulty, so often I think, well, it's nothing compared to Paul. Nothing compared to what he's been through. The shipwrecks, the floggings, multiple times, 35 times I received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. 3 times I experienced beaten with rods. 1 time they stoned me. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. Goodness gracious, Paul. You know, today if that happened to a guy, we'd say something's wrong with him. We'd say, man, he must be out of God's will. That's what we'd be saying today, right? Because he's not prospering and he's not, you know, he should, if he's really in God, you know, now I'm preaching a little bit rough here, but that's true. It's the way we are sometimes. If things aren't going right in someone's life, we start judging them like Job's friends did. Didn't hear a lot of amen on that one. He says, 3 times I've been shipwrecked. For an overnight and a day, I was adrift in the open sea. In my difficult travels, I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, and even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at sea, with spies posing as believers. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion and gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water, left hungry and shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. Man, tell me he didn't have a tough time. And yet he's the guy that we admire and we hear all these great scriptures from. We read all of his books every day and every night, and we love them, and they inspire us, they bless us, you know, but yet he went through, can we say it, hell. Amen? He did. So something that, you know, in 2 Corinthians, let me finish that thought. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. So that's the heart that Paul did. He was not going to lose hope. He wasn't going to let anything take the hope from him because he knew the love of God. Amen? He understood God's love for him. The day after Bo passed, prior to that we had our house filled with people praying and worshiping and spending time with us and laying hands on Bo. We were all believing God for a miracle. And we believed that we never believed that he would die, but we thought in our hearts, if he did, we're raising him from the dead. That's all there is to it. And so we did. We prayed for him for many hours. Pastor came over in the middle of the night with us, sat with us, prayed with us, just like John would. And that was so touching to have him there. And I know John does the same kind of stuff. We've heard the stories of him just being there for people on their deathbed and hanging there, holding their hands and praying for them as they're dying. And I'm telling you, that's precious. That's a gift from God. And I commend you, John, in the way that you've been through all that and you've continued to just help people in that realm because it's not easy. And my son died, and we were not in the lower level of our home. All of our family was there. We were praying. We were worshiping. We prayed for his resurrection. Pastor came over, sat with us, and we prayed for hours. I called Andrew. I said, Andrew, pray for us. Both died, and he said, I'm praying right now, middle of the night. And then I guess it was around 4 or 5 in the morning. Joe would correct me with some of the details, but it doesn't matter. You know, I just looked up at my pastor. I said, it doesn't seem like he's coming back. I said, I wonder if we need to stop. He goes, Charlie, I'll pray as long as you want to pray. And so I called Andrew, and I said, Andrew, I said, I'm sensing we just need to let him stay in heaven. I said, unless you have a word, a prophetic word, you know, that says, no, don't stop praying. He goes, Charlie, I've been praying. He goes, I don't sense anything like that. I don't hear anything. You do whatever you feel like you need to do. I'll stand with you. And sure enough, we let him go. I don't know that we had a whole lot of choice, but we let it, you know, we gave up on us trying to raise him from the dead. And that's when all hell broke loose in our family, and my wife and my kids. We have two daughters and our only son, and they began to scream and wail like I had never heard before. Because as you understand, some of you understand, we all stood and stood and stood and stood, and we believed and we trusted God. And, you know, so I had a pastor friend of mine. He grabbed hold of me, different pastor than the one that was praying with us. And he said, Charlie, listen, there's a faith to move mountains. He said, but there's also a powerful faith to stand when the mountain doesn't move. And that's part of the heart of the message as I close today, is I just wanted to encourage you that, you know, things don't always go the way they're supposed to go. Let's put it that way. And as we said in the podcast, how to say it, Joe, on the subtitle of the podcast, getting through what you never asked for, you know. Y'all pray for us because we're hoping we can help a lot of people with this podcast. We got a call from Joyce Meyer's staff just a week ago, 2 weeks ago. They said Joyce wants to have you on her podcast. She wants you guys to share your story. Joyce gave us a beautiful recommendation on the book, whatever you call it. Foreword. A beautiful foreword in the book. Don't seek the treasure. No. Anyway, she did a. You caught that right. A beautiful foreword in the book, and actually Andrew as well. He said, Charlie, in the book, it was so personal, it so blessed me so much. He said, Charlie, he said, everyone suffers loss. Andrew Womack. Some more than others. And Jesus said we would suffer tribulation. He said, it's all part of living in a fallen world. He says, so it's not a matter of if. This is interesting. He said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And how you deal with it. Now, I'm not prophesying doom on you, and neither was he. But the bottom line and the truth of the matter is life is not perfect. He's been through a lot of very difficult times. He's faced difficulty beyond words. And he knows that everyone experiences tough times. And it's not a matter of having difficulty. It's a matter of how you get through it. Amen. There's a faith to stand when the mountain doesn't move. I want to encourage you all to take that faith, take that hope. Don't give up on hoping in Jesus and trusting in him. Don't let the enemy destroy you when things don't go the way they should go. Just keep loving on Jesus. Trust him. I had to live in what I knew and not what I didn't know. You say, Charlie, well, how did that happen? You're a man of faith. You're a graduate of Rhema Graphic Bible Training Center. You've been walking with Joyce Meyer and Andrew Womack and Kenneth Hagin all your life. How could this happen? To be honest with you, I don't know all the answers. The Bible says secret things belong to the Lord. Scripture says in Corinthians, it says we know through a glass. We see through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. We don't understand all that happens. But what I do understand, I live in, and that is that God's love never fails. He loves me, that no matter what I go through, as Paul said, I know I am more than a conqueror through his love. Now, I didn't get there overnight, but through the love of God and his patience with me and his love, it brought Jill and I both through. And having a relationship with the Lord, knowing how much he loves us, knowing us. I ran across the scripture in Isaiah. It said, when Israel suffered, he suffered. Knowing that God cares, that he is with us. Isaiah 63:9, in all their suffering, he also suffered. And he lifted them up and he carried them through all those years as they were hurting, as they were in slavery. He loved them. He was suffering with them. And I just got a revelation of Jesus crying with me. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. I knew, I just started seeing him when I wept uncontrollably for years. And I didn't expect it this morning, but I just believed he held me, he holds me, and he weeps with me. You got to get a picture of the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. Amen? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You have to get a picture of him loving you and holding you and caring for you, even in the midst of your most difficult situation. Psalm 68:19. I thought I was going to try to end, but give me a couple more minutes. Praise the Lord. Praise God, our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. I know that may seem a little wimpy to some of you men, but listen. God's a good father. He's a tough father. He's a mighty father. He's a strong father, but he's also a tender father. Paul the Apostle says he comforts us in all of our tribulation. I mean, Paul was going through trouble after trouble after trouble, and he needed the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. He said, who comforts me in all of my tribulation, that I can comfort others with the same comfort that I've received of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So just remember, God loves you, that nothing can separate you from his love. And don't let the enemy take you out when things don't go the way they need to go. All right? So we love you. We just stand with you. We pray for you. We're excited about the new building. We've been praying for you guys for over a year now, knowing that God is going to do an amazing thing. We're excited. We hope we can come back during the celebration of the new building. But nonetheless, we stand with you and thank you for your love. And thanks for letting us come back. Amen. God bless you. Love you.